Well, we're looking at preparation for the journey that God would want us to go on. And that journey is an adventure that we've been asked to go on by God, who is going to direct us on that journey. The two pathways we're going to look to follow, the pathway of relationship, which enables us to go deeper with God in intimacy, knowing who he is and knowing who we are, and the pathway of responsibility, which is about rulership in the kingdom of God. And both of those require us to engage with the realm of the spirit. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And so God wants us to see with the eyes of our spirit as well as with our natural eyes. And so we've seen over the last couple of weeks, we have prophetic gifts and seer gifts, the gift of distinguishing or discerning of spirits given to us. And that can be imparted to us by laying on of hands and praying for people as a seed. But if we want it to grow, we need to cultivate that seed. So it's important that we look after our heart. And we actually look after the soil in our heart to make sure that it is good soil, and that those seeds will grow. And last week we looked at the importance of engaging with the angelic realm and angelic beings who are sent to guard us and guide us on the journey. And they're there to minister with us and for us as heirs of salvation. Now, we need to know lots of things before we set out on this journey. So we're going to look at some of those things today. Faith, it's important to know about faith, and that's the basic teaching for today will be about faith. Basic truths, which we'll look at, the language of the spirit, and then we will look at base camp, basic training, building our spirit up to engage with what God wants us to do, so that when we are actually on this journey, we will be able to see and experience everything that God wants us to do, because we're going to start from the beginning. So faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, substance, or evidence of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now that sounds quite complicated, but it really isn't that complicated. We need to hope for things or have expectations of things. What are our expectations of this journey that we're going on? Because if you have no expectations of anything, then you're unlikely to receive anything. Because faith works on what we're hoping for or expecting. And it's not a wishful thinking type of hope. It's a hope based on the truth of God and his word and what he says to us. So in terms of faith, it's about what do you believe and what do you expect? Because God meets us at those points of belief and expectation. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Version says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the physical senses." So when God says something, when he speaks something to us, when the Bible says something, faith is believing that that's true even before we've actually experienced the truth. And when we believe something is true because of who said it, because of God said it, and the trust we have in him, then the reality is that allows it to become real for us. But there's a process. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God." So everything that we see in the physical realm has been created by God speaking it into existence. So what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, scientifically, that's absolutely correct. And you can prove that scientifically. But the reality is, everything that we physically see as matter came out of energy. And that's where you get E equals MC squared and Einstein's theories and different things. The reality is, when God spoke it, he spoke it out of his heart, out of his thoughts, the things that he had imagined. And when he spoke, it actually manifested into reality. Now, science calls it a big bang. everything exploded out of God speaking. And everything we see comes from that unseen realm. And everything that actually exists now only exists because it's being observed from that unseen realm. And that is basic quantum physics 101. What are our expectations of this journey? Because if we're going to go on a journey, what are we expecting? Because God will respond to our hopes or expectations. So if we want something, like say a promise that God has made, then we have to believe that that promise belongs to us and he's going to give it to us before he will give it to us. That's just how he's made it work. So faith engages our expectations. Your consciousness has the creative power to frame the world around you. Now, fortunately, God has not released that in fullness to us, because if he had done at this point in time in our level of maturity, then there would be a load of devastation as a result of that. But he is teaching us and training us in this journey to be able to use the power that he's given us as being made in his image to be able to creatively re-release things from what we see and feel and experience and think in our own hearts. And so what we speak in alignment with what we see can release that around our lives. So we can frame our own world and have dominion over it, which is what God's called his church to have, his dominion. Matthew 9:29 says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'It shall be done to you according to your faith.'" So if we want to see God, if we want to see the realms of heaven, if we want to see the unseen realm, then he needs to touch our eyes, and it needs to be done according to our belief, our faith. Because if we don't believe that we can see, then we won't. What do you believe will be done? And that is the expectation you need to have for faith to become a reality to bring experience. What do you actually believe will be done? For you, in you, through you, and around you. Because that is what God wants us to engage with. Our personal life, what his promises for our life as children of God, because he's made so many promises for us as his children, but also, what will we believe he does in us, so in our spirit, soul, and body, and through us, because God has called us to be his body on earth, to administer his kingdom and see the things that he wants from that heavenly unseen realm manifested here around us. So we become a gateway of the reality of heaven here on earth, so that that reality can be formed around us and shaped around us. Mark 11:22-24 says, "Jesus answered, saying to them, 'Have God-like faith.'" So the same faith that God used to bring his creative thoughts that came out of the imagination of his heart into creative existence, we need to have faith like that. Now you think, well, we're not God. No, but we're children of God, sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. And he wants to bring us to maturity so that we can birth things from within us. The things that come out of the desires that he's placed within our destiny to fulfill. "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain..." So faith, God-like faith, requires us to speak. "Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up, cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart." If you doubt in your heart, then you don't believe. And there are so many unbelieving believers, as Bill Johnson puts it, because we don't believe what God has said about us and what we can do. So if we don't believe, then we won't see it happen. So doubt is a killer of faith. So if you do not believe, if you doubt in your heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen. So if we believe that what we say in alignment with what God says will happen, then it will be granted. That's how faith works. So we've got to be really careful what we think, what we feel, and what we say. Because if they don't align, with God's desires for us and God's will for us, then they're not going to be granted. But if they do align, then we can have an expectation that what God says will be outworked. Matthew 11:24 says, therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, so everything that we're believing for, literally, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. So we have to believe before we see with our physical eyes. But we see with the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our spirit. So in us, everything is already in agreement so we can see it before it's released. That's what faith does. It works on that which we have seen within our spirit or within the eyes of our heart, within our imagination, so that our conscious expression of that can be released to bring reality. That's what the Bible says. We have to believe before we receive it, then we will receive it. If those people who say, well, I'm only going to believe when I see it, that isn't faith, and they're very unlikely to see it. So if you don't think you can, you can't. And that is a powerful statement. So anything in your life that you require and are looking for, whether it's you guys who are looking for recovery, whether it's people who are looking for ministry, fulfill God's purpose, if you don't think you can, you can't. The opposite to that, of course, is if you do think you can, then you can. If you don't think you can hear and see in the realm of the unseen realm, you probably won't. Now, sometimes God is so gracious that he gives us glimpses of that, even if we don't believe, to open our eyes to the fact that it's true. So that's why we get visions and dreams, because the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to see, so sometimes breaks through even our unbelief to inspire us to go for something more. But if you don't think you can step into the realm of heaven, you probably won't. And in on this journey, so much of what we're going to do requires us to engage by faith, to believe that what we're seeing in the eyes of our heart and our spirit is just as real as what we see with our natural eyes, because it is. You know, I cannot see the molecules of oxygen and hydrogen and carbon dioxide and all the other inert gases and other things that are in the air. But we know it's there. If it wasn't there, I would stop breathing. But I can't see it with my physical eyes. And there are so many other things in this room that I can't see with my physical eyes. But I can see with the eyes of my heart, and I can see with the eyes of my spirit. But it requires faith. Matthew 6:9 says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We know this as the Lord's Prayer, but actually it's the prayer he taught his disciples. And he didn't teach them to recite it by rote. He taught them principles of truth that were in these statements. And the reality is, our first focus in everything is God who is in heaven. Now that can seem so far away, but actually it is just a thought away, because it is around us as a dimension that we cannot see with our natural eyes, but we can engage with our spirit. Then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now in the past, we thought about that as, oh, well, God sorts all the stuff out in heaven, and then we get to see it on earth. But the reality is, God has opened up heaven for us as his children to go to that place and to do some of the as it is stuff, to create those things in heaven so that they can be manifested on earth. Because that's what God did, that's what Jesus did, and that's what he wants us to do. So we have to focus on the main issues, which are the unseen realm. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So all those things we're believing for, promises, everything that we see written in the Word of God, exists for us in the spiritual realm first. And by faith, when we see it and engage it, we can manifest it into this realm. So faith engages the heavenly realms first, and that manifests the unseen in the physical realm. But we have to learn to do it by faith. And once we learn to do it by faith, and we see it, it's no longer faith, is it? It's experience. And that's what God wants us to do. So we're going to engage the unseen realm or the invisible realm from which everything exists and which everything is held together. We're going to engage that realm because it's a spiritual realm and we are spiritual beings. So we're going to learn how to manifest the unseen. I think that's pretty exciting. You know, I want to manifest that which I've seen in the realms of heaven and in prophetic visions and in prophetic dreams, to see that manifested on earth. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the Christian life. We don't walk by what we just see with our natural eyes. We live it out by believing what God said, so that what God said will be experienced in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:13, having the same spirit of faith. What spirit of faith? The same spirit of faith that God had. According to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. So we have to speak and have everything that we say in alignment with what we believe. And we need to believe that which what God says. Then we can see it manifested just as God saw it manifested. But we're on a journey to be able to understand the power that we have as children of God. Because the enemy has done a really good job of robbing us and blinding us to the reality of who we really are. And God wants to unveil that that's been covering our eyes. It's like layers of veils have been over us. And so occasionally we get a glimpse through some of the holes that are in those veils and they align up a little bit of the realm of the spirit. But if we remove those veils, we will be able to see. So we can frame our world from what we can imagine, believe, and speak. Faith leads to experience. If it's just faith and there was never any experience, what would be the point of that? I have experienced heaven. I've experienced God. I know him personally. When I first started out, I made a decision to believe what he said. And in doing that, it then brought the reality into my life. I believe first, and the experience followed. Faith opens doors for us. It opens opportunities for us to experience. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So God gifts us this faith to believe. It's not something that we have to work up or try and make happen. He's gifted us the way of doing this, which is to believe what he said. It's a gift that we have so that we can receive our salvation and our relationship with him. So the door of salvation comes through faith. Healing, provision, protection, deliverance, wholeness, that's what salvation means as a word in Greek, belongs to us through faith, which we've been gifted so that we can believe. There's no one that cannot believe. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if I stop there, that would be such a sad place to stop. A whole load of things we haven't seen, a whole load of things we haven't heard, and a whole load of things that are not in our hearts. Sad. But the reality is we don't have to stop there, because it goes on. For God revealed them through the Spirit. So he's revealed those things to our spirit by his Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So we don't get these things through trying to do it by human effort, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So we may know who we are, our destiny, what we've been created for, all that belongs to us, our inheritance as God's children. We can know it, but we can't know it by natural reasoning or trying to work it out by rationality. We have to know it by faith through the Spirit. But we can know it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised or understood." So we cannot naturally understand God or anything about God. It's impossible because it's a spiritual activity. So our spirits have to engage God. But how can they if they're dead and separated from God? We need a living spirit to engage spiritual things legitimately. Now, there are people who engage spiritual realms illegitimately. They go in through other doorways, but that always leads to death and destruction in their lives, not blessing. So we need to go in through the right spiritual door. And that spiritual door is Jesus, who said, "I am the door. You can come through me to get to God." So Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active. It's alive. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." So faith is linked to God himself and what he says. And that word is alive. It's not a dead word. It's a living word. Only living, though, if it's applied by the Spirit. It's a dead theology book, the Bible, if there's no Spirit. So we need the Spirit to engage in the Word. So the Word of God, both the written, what the Greeks call Logos Word, and the Rhema, spoken Word of God, is living and active and powerful and is a person called Jesus, that we can live and engage with and experience. So Jesus will be your reference, guide, doorway and anchor on this journey in the Word of God. So everything we do will be anchored in the truth of what God has said and written and what God is saying. The Word of God is living and active, but it's waiting for us to experience it. It is just words on a page unless we engage it in the Spirit and experience it and have life from it. So salvation, healing, blessings, the promises, the angels, heaven, visions, trances, dreams, manifestations of God's actual presence are all available through us, to us, through faith. We just have to learn to engage them. They're all available. Now, just let me just say this about the Word of God. It is a book, as we have the Bible, written to help us to know and experience God. That's what it's written for. It's not written as a manual for every single thing. It won't tell you how to change the engine oil in your car. Yeah. There may be other books that are written to help you do that. But it will tell us about God and how to experience him. So John 21:25 says, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." See, Jesus was not contained to just what he did on this world. He's an eternally God. And everything has come out of him. So there is so much more than what is written in the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation, starting point, guide, doorway and anchor. But not everything about God and not everything about the realms of heaven and not everything about the protocol of the kingdom is written in the Bible. But it is engageable in the person of Jesus, who is the living Word. So Jesus can tell us things that aren't in the Bible. Now, we have all sorts of things every single day of our lives that aren't in the Bible. Cars, computers, cookers, everything. You know, those things aren't written in the Bible. We have no problem with them because we know they're real things. So there are things which God will reveal that we need to realize you won't necessarily find every detail in the Bible. But the principles will be based there and the nature and character of God will be there that help us keep on track and not go off into wild fantasy. So it helps us align. But we will find lots of other things on this journey that shall be really exciting things that we can discover. So we use faith as a doorway to experience. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also. And this is talking about those that were in the wilderness with Moses. They had truth spoken to them, just as we have. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. So they did not enter the promised land and get all their inheritance that had been spoken about to them, because they did not mix faith. So in other words, they didn't believe what God said, because they looked at the giants and all the issues of the land and thought, we can't do that. Rather than looking at what God said and says, this land belongs to you, which the next generation did, and they did go in and possess it. So everything I say and everything you find written in the Word of God, if you do not mix faith with it, will profit nothing. We have to engage faith. Another verse in that, in the Message version, says this: we received the same promises as those in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience the state of resting, entering into inheritance, but not if we don't have faith. So it's absolutely vital that we learn to engage everything by faith to begin with. Now, Luke 17:5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because they were struggling to believe. Even though they saw all the miracles, they were struggling to believe what he said about them. And they said, increase our faith. So how can we increase our faith? Number one, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The ball is in our court. Everything is in our court. God has done everything he needs to do. So it's whether we will choose to draw near to him. If we do, then our relationship with him will enable us to engage in the truth of who he is and who he says we are. Praying in the Spirit, the gift of tongues, helps us build up our faith. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And there's something really important about praying in tongues that we will look at when we get to the base camp, and we'll practice around that quite a lot, because it's really important, because it enables our spirit to engage in the realm of the Spirit. Faith comes through hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. So actually hearing and speaking the word of God as it's written can produce faith in us in itself. Because we hear it, it goes into our heart and causes us to believe. So speaking, meditating, thinking about the word of God will enable us to have faith in it. But it takes time and it takes effort to read the word of God and confess it and speak it so that it will produce faith in us. And most of us are too lazy to do it, to be honest. So we need to engage more and more in engaging with God, drawing near to him, hearing what he says to us. So hearing the prophetic and the living word of God will help faith arise in our hearts and increase it. Ephesians 6:17, take the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is a weapon that we can use to deal with doubt and unbelief and bring faith into our lives. Romans 1:12, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. So fellowship with faith-filled people helps build our faith. Hanging around with people who don't believe does not build our faith. So it's really important who we hang out with. If you hang out with negative people, unless you're very strong, you end up feeling negative. But God wants us to be positive. So hang out with positive people who are going to strengthen, encourage and build your faith by speaking the truth in love to you and encouraging you. And that's what we do when we get together. We encourage each other in our faith. Now, we've not been this way before, and therefore we need to have confidence that God is going to lead us and direct us, because we're on a journey. And he's not told us fully where we're going. He's just said he wants us to start this journey and follow him. Now, I've got a pretty good idea of where we're going because I've been most of the places where we're going to visit. But there's a whole load of places I've never seen that I'm looking to experience more. So we need confidence. The word confidence is basically the same as faith. And the Greek word for confidence, which is confidere, literally means with faith. So we need confidence in who? Who is our confidence in? God. Not in ourselves. Our confidence in ourselves only comes from what he says about us. So we need that relationship with him. Luke 11:11 says this. Now suppose one of you fathers, and he was talking to a crowd, is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if we're asking God to have these experiences of the unseen realm, of being able to step into heaven, of being able to operate in the kingdom of God and operate that, we have to trust that this is what he's going to give us. So don't be afraid. Oh, well, what if we see things we don't understand? What if? Doubt and unbelief. Let's believe that when we ask God to reveal more of himself to us and to take us into the realms of heaven so we can experience him, he will give us that. We don't need to be fearful. The enemies of faith on our journey will be things like familiar spirits, those things that have been assigned to your life to speak negative things into your mind and take you down patterns of behavior and cycles of behavior because you think according to those things. They're not you. Just because they speak to you in your head in the first person, don't believe them. They're not you. They just want you to think they are, so that you think that you are thinking those negative things and thoughts. Familiar spirits we need to deal with. And we have a whole 20-part series called Transformation that goes into dealing with everything that will hinder and block our faith. Available on the website. For you guys in the members area, you can access all these things for free. But there are also things, fear, doubt, unbelief, insecurity, pride, skepticism, legalism, they will all hinder us on this journey. So we need to make sure our hearts are coming from a place of faith, and God will help us. But we have some friends and some tutors on this journey, and they're called the seven spirits of God. And they're the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, spirit of counsel, spirit of understanding, spirit of might, and spirit of the fear of God. And they are there to help us and guide us and give us insight and revelation about who God is and about who we are in our role as sons of God. And we will learn to engage with them on this journey. Now, there are two pathways you can follow in life. One is the pathway of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Basically, doing things your own way, out of your own imagination and your own understanding. We've all tried that. Didn't really work too well for most of us, because we all ended up in a bit of a mess. Or the tree of life, a pathway which leads to the life which comes from God. We all start out on the first pathway, all of us, without fail, because we're born into that pathway, because we've inherited something that came through Adam. The question is, will we stay there? Do you want to stay on a pathway which is leading to destruction, or do you want to change? All of us have an opportunity of changing paths. The first pathway leads to eternal separation from God, and the Bible describes that as hell. The second pathway leads to eternal life with God, which is about relationship. Which pathway do you want to be on? To join this journey that we're going on, it requires each of us to have a living, active spirit that's connected to the source of life, which is in that spiritual unseen realm. That's the only way that we're going to be able to engage these things. So we need to get our spirit alive. We need to have a relationship with the guide who's going to help us on this journey. We need to know God through Jesus. He's the only way to legitimately engage spiritual dimensions. So for the unbeliever, someone who has never encountered God, the human spirit is in darkness. But once God has come to dwell on the inside of us, in our spirit, the spirit of a man is renewed and it's made light with the presence of God. And then that renewing process, which touches our soul, starts from the inside out and begins to change us from what the Spirit of God in our spirit enables us to experience. And we will learn this whole process. So this starts with being what the Bible says is born again of the Spirit. That's where it starts. We cannot get into this any other way. Jesus said, John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we won't be able to see the kingdom in the unseen realms without being born again. John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Again, just believing, putting faith in him, we can have eternal life. Awesome. So we can know the truth or know reality. And I'm talking about true reality. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot get to God any other way. We have to come through that way. Now, my favorite film is probably The Matrix. And in The Matrix, you discover that the real world wasn't really real. And we have an opportunity to discover the real world and to realize that we've lived in deception. Now, the journey that we're going to be on requires us to get a hold of that reality. And in the film The Matrix, there was a choice between the red pill and the blue pill. Very famous scene in the movie. And Neo was offered the choice, the red pill or the blue pill. The red pill was going to take off the veil of blindness from him so he could see the real world. We have a choice today between the red pill and the blue pill. And we have that choice every single day. Initially, we have that choice whether we're going to accept Jesus and become a follower of him. The blue pill would allow you to remain in the fabricated reality of the Matrix, therefore living the illusion of ignorance. You can think about that. That's what it means to be living with your eyes closed to the spiritual reality of God. The red pill leads you to escape from the Matrix into the real world, therefore living the truth of reality. And this is a direct quote from the film. This is your last chance. After this, there's no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends, and you wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering you is the truth, nothing more. And that's what God is offering us today, the truth. Nothing more, the truth. To discover the real world, or to continue to live in deception, the choice is all of ours. 2 Corinthians 4:3 is a scripture which explains that. Even if our gospel, the good news about God, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. People are being blinded to the truth. Do you want that veil of blindness removed? Do you want to discover the real world or continue to live in deception? All of us have to answer that. So how do I start this journey and get a relationship with God? Make a decision to follow him as a disciple. That's basically what we need to do. Surrender your life to him, change direction and path, change your destination, transfer from the kingdom in darkness to the kingdom of light. By faith, choose to follow Jesus. It is a step of faith to say, I choose to follow Jesus as a disciple. Come follow me. That's all Jesus said. He didn't complicate it by praying a big long prayer. He just said, come and follow me. But he did make some pretty unambiguous statements that made the implications of following him really clear to people before they decided to make that choice. He said, count the cost before you set out following me. He described it as, don't go build a tower unless you've got all the materials to do it. He also said, don't put your hand to the plow and look back. So if you're going to follow me, don't keep looking back to your old life, because you'll go astray. He said, deny yourself. He also said several other things. Leave everything behind. You can't bring your old junk on this journey. Who wants to anyway? Give up the rights you have to everything. Let your love for me make your love of everything else seem like hate in comparison. God wants everything from us if we're going to go on this journey. But it's a simple step of making a choice to follow him. Our spirit is then given life by God's spirit, the breath of life. Our spirit receives God's light and becomes light. Our eyes are open to the light of truth. Drinking living water is another illustration of coming to Jesus and receiving a fountain of water in us continually. Our spirit becoming a house for God's presence is another illustration that we can use. These are analogies or illustrations of how you can encounter God in reality as a person. So, drinking living water, engaging the light, opening the door of your life, returning to the Father who you've been separated from, are all illustrations. And there are various scriptures that help us understand that. John 4:10 talks about receiving living water. And it says, the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4:6, God said, light shall shine out of darkness is the one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So he, the light, can come into us. Revelation 3:20, not strictly talking about people who don't yet know Jesus, but you can apply it to that in the first instance. We get every day to open that door. But it says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Relationship. Opening the door to let him in. And the last illustration of this, let me read this. John 15, we know this story, the story of the prodigal son. Son who took all his inheritance and went and wasted it in the world and then made his mind up to go back to the father. And it says in verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That was his heart of turning back to his father. But then the father said to his servants, quickly bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, on his hand, sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf, kill it, let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine who was dead and has come to life again, he was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. Illustrations of coming back into a relationship with God. And we need to find these analogies to help people experience God in truth and reality, not just pray a prayer and hope something happens. We need to engage in God at the beginning of our Christian life in reality, because we can experience him when we take that step of faith. And that's what I believe we need to do today. So we're going to practice this. If you've never encountered God yourself and you want to take that step of saying, hey, I want to surrender my life to him, then you can use one of these illustrations. If you have done that before, but you want a deeper revelation of dimensions of God, then you can engage in this as well. First illustration there, if you're thirsty, drink some living water. He's going to give you it if you ask. We have a cross here in the room, two of them. It's like living water coming out of that cross that you can drink. You may like the illustration, I want light. and truth. Again, the light is coming out of the revelation of who Jesus is. See it as coming out of the cross, that you can engage in deeper revelation of God today, having light come into your life. There's a picture of a heart with a door in it. Maybe you need to open the door and invite God in. We all do that if we want to engage the door of first love every day and engage with heaven. Can do that today. Picture there of the Father embracing his Son as he returns to him. So I'd encourage you just to close your eyes and just picture one of those analogies. You may like to picture living water. You may like to picture light flowing out of the cross. You may want to picture the door of your heart being opened. You may want to picture coming to God. I'm just going to play some music, and I want you just to close your eyes and picture, use those images you've just seen, picture your own images. If you seriously want to engage God, then just picture that and use that as a way of a doorway of faith to engage, okay? So just close your eyes and we'll just engage with those pictures. So those of you who want to make a choice to follow Jesus, you can start to picture drinking living water as it's flowing out from the cross, from Jesus. And as you drink it, your spirit becomes alive. You feel the Spirit of God coming within your spirit. Feel the source of life coming into your life. Feel that bubbling up of life, giving you forgiveness, washing away your past, giving you a new beginning, cleansing you from everything in your past. You may want to choose to follow Jesus and see the light as the light of the world coming from him, from the cross, flooding your spirit as you open your eyes to see your spirit coming out of darkness and coming into light. You may feel the truth of who you are being adopted into his family. Feel his love revealing to you the truth of how special you are, that you have a purpose and a destiny. You may want to picture opening up the door to your life to God. Jesus knocking. Just open the door to your heart and let him come in, make his home within you. As you do so, feel his love, his acceptance, forgiveness. Feel his joy, his peace fill you. Feel his presence within your spirit. Or you may just want to picture yourself coming back to the Father. You come carrying all the burdens and weight of your past life. But as you see the Father, God before you, his arms open, with love in his eyes, you have to drop all that you're carrying. All the sin, the burdens, the rubbish from the past, just drop it. And just go and feel his embrace, feel his love. Feel the new clothes that he gives you, the ring of sonship he puts on your finger, and the celebration that is in his heart, and the joy within all the angels of one person returning in relationship with God. Thank you. whichever illustration you choose to follow, you can receive forgiveness for all your past. You can receive cleansing from all your past. You can receive a new identity as a child of God. You can receive adoption into a new family. Receive love, acceptance, affirmation. Receive a destiny and a purpose. Just encourage you to continue just engaging with those pictures, experiencing the river of life, the light of God. And as we continue in our time of worship in a few minutes, just again, just begin to let your spirit engage with those analogies, illustrations of coming deeper into the presence of God, engaging in His river, letting the light come around you, opening up the door of your heart to engage in first love with Him. Returning to Him. You may use the cross as an illustration of coming to Him, maybe nailing all those lies that you've believed to the cross today, so that they can be broken over you, that you can receive the truth of who you are as a child of God, what your destiny is as a son, as a king, as a lord in the realm of heaven. That you have been gifted faith, so that when you speak from what you believe, from that which you see within the eyes of your heart, you can see those things manifested around you, that you have the power to frame your world. Just let that faith increase as you draw near to the Father. And the Father draw near to you today. As heaven is open over us, and we can step in to the very presence of God and experience the intimacy and love that He has for us. As we open our hearts and draw near, as we surrender our lives to follow Him. As we begin this journey into the unseen realms to see the kingdom in heaven manifested on earth, in us and through us and around us. Encourage you when we go into the time of worship, just again, just allow your spirit to engage and really experience Him, because there's so much more for us today. After last week's encounter, I got to some places I'd never been to before, just because heaven was open and we can step in.